How are we? Good, good. This side of the room, this side. Still waiting for your coffee. That's great. And online, I'm assuming that you guys are sounding great. Hamilton Mill, I'm assuming you guys are awesome as well. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So I'm going to jump right in. My wife and I, we have three kids. We have a seven-year-old, a soon-to-be in 2 days five-year-old, and a one-year-old. And right now we are in the middle of birthday season for us. My one-year-old, he just turned one in December, and then we celebrated Jesus's birthday, and then January, we celebrated my daughter's seventh birthday, and then in 2 days, we'll celebrate my five-year-old's birthday, so we're just like so many birthdays, and to celebrate, though, my daughter's seventh birthday, we took her to the aquarium. And it's a great time to go to the aquarium right now if you're looking for something to do, because it's reservation only and you don't have to deal with all the people that are like, I gotta see the shark. And then you're like, oh, and you gotta wait your turn. It's really awesome. So we went there, we took my daughter to the aquarium. And when we got there, we walked in and we did like a little powwow game plan. And I asked my seven-year-old, my five-year-old, I go, okay, what exhibit do you guys wanna go and see? And I thought that they would start telling me about, we want to see the otters or whatever, you know, like, and I thought that, but the first thing that they both asked me is, what's an exhibit, right? And I was like, oh, and I'm ashamed to admit, you guys, how long it took me to try to tell them what an exhibit was, because I was like, it's the place that you go with the thing. Just go see the sharks, you know, right? And it's funny, I'm in that season of life. I wish I could say that's the only time that that's happened, but I'm in this season of life right now where both of these older two, everything is why and what's that? And so they're just asking questions all the time. And so I wish I could say that was the first time that they've stumped me like that, but it actually happened again the other night. We sat down to watch the movie Soul. Anyone watched Soul on Disney Plus? Yeah. Okay. So we watched Soul, and as we're starting the movie, I'm telling them, oh, it's gonna be so good. You know, everybody's getting their popcorn or whatever. And my daughter looks over and she goes, hey, real quick, what's a soul? Yeah, you laugh because you're like, I don't know what I'll say either, right? Like, and I'm a pastor, right? And I should probably know this. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like, how do I describe this? And so then I start over explaining, as you can do sometimes as a parent. And then I'm like quoting C.S. Lewis to her. And I'm like, we're not souls with a body, our bodies with a soul, we're souls with a body. And I'm like, and she's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And it was like, it was miserably difficult to describe this. And it got me thinking, like, the reason why I mentioned that is there's certain words that we use that, like, we know what they mean and we all know how to use them, but then if we were asked to define them, we like kind of struggle to actually give it a definition, right? And you know, soul is one of those, maybe exhibit is one of those, but the reason why I talk about that today is because in this series, over the next 3 weeks, we're gonna be talking about one of those words that, like, we all know what it is, we all have a picture of what it would be, but sometimes we have a hard time defining it because all of us have maybe a different, like, subtle definition for it. The word that we're gonna be talking about over the next 3 weeks is this word peace. And like I said, it's a word that we're familiar with. We all use it and we all look for it and we all need a little bit more of it, right? I don't know about you, but I think we could all stand to have a little bit more peace. I don't know anybody. I have not talked to anybody that's like, no, way too much peace in my life. I'm so peaceful right now. Like, I am the poster child for the Calm app. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know anybody that would say, that I don't need a little more peace. But then if I were to ask you to define it, like, what is peace? You get all kinds of different answers. Some people say, well, it's calm, it's tranquility. For some of us, we'd talk about, you know, the dictionary says, well, it's kind of the opposite of war. It's the absence of chaos. It's the absence of conflict. And so we would maybe define it like that. For some of you, if I asked you to define peace, you would simply say it's a clean house, right? Some of you are like, yes, amen. He's preaching to my soul, right? Like, For some of you, right? It's not necessarily a clean house, but it's that weekend vacay. It's a weekend getaway where you get away from work. For some of you, it's that hour that you get when the kid finally goes to sleep and takes a nap and you've got the house to yourself and you can watch whatever it is that you want to watch instead of little baby bum. And you can just watch what you want to watch, or you can sit and do nothing and it's amazing. And you go, that is peace. Right? Like we've all got these different pictures of peace, but really, like, what is it? It's important that we define terms today, because how you define peace will determine where you seek it. How you define peace will determine where you seek it. And so I think, you know, with all the different pictures out there, I thought it might be good for us to get a definition of what most of us would say peace is. And I think, you know, after talking to a lot of different people and hearing their descriptions, I think I've come up with what I think most of us would define as peace. I think most of us define peace as the absence of stress. For most of us, we define peace as the absence of stress. And maybe you exchange that word stress for something else, but for the series, this is what a lot of us would define as peace. It's the absence of stress. It's the removal of whatever or whoever is the thing that stresses us out the most. This is the way most of us are seeking peace. It's the removal of stress from our lives. Whatever that thing is, it's the greatest thing that's stressing you out, right? I don't know what that is. As a matter of fact, right now, I want you to think about it. What is the thing that stresses you out the most? What is your greatest source of stress right now? And don't, like, look at them. You know what I mean? Right? Nudging. Remember Valentine's Day, you know? I don't know who it is. Like, if you're watching on the chat, like, you don't have to drop that in the chat. This is my greatest source of stress. But when you think about it, like, we've all got something that comes to mind. Some of you, you walked in here and it's been top of mind. For some of you, you're having a hard time paying attention to what I'm saying right now because it's what you came in thinking about. What is your greatest source of stress? I don't know what it is for you, but I can guess that it probably falls into one of these three buckets. It probably falls into one of these three buckets of a place, a problem, or a person. I would imagine that your greatest source of stress is probably fits into one of these three categories. It might be a place. For some of you, it might be work. And it's busy, 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 and it's go, go, go. And maybe the office environment is a little toxic, or maybe your place of work is really competitive and it's cutthroat and it's always, you know, achieving and performing and competition, and I got to do better than this person. Maybe that's what it's like. And so for you, when you think about your greatest source of stress, it's a place and it's work. For some of you, it's not work. For some of you, it's home. For some of you, the reason why you work so late, it's not because you want to climb ladders, but it's actually because you want to avoid going home. For some of you, the source of your greatest stress is home. For others of you, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's going over to your parents. Maybe it's the fact that your parents live with you, and that's why the place of stress is your house. But for some of us, for a lot of us, our greatest source of stress is a place. For some of us in here, it's a problem. Maybe a financial problem. It's those school loans. It's that second mortgage. It's the dip in the economy. It's something financial. For some of you, that's the problem. For some of you, it's a health problem, and you just wish you could get the diagnosis. You wish you could get it figured out. You wish it would go away. For some of you, you would say your greatest source of stress is some kind of problem in your life. For some of you, it's a person. It's somebody in your life that you just wish you could fix, change, or remove, right? Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a coworker, a boss. For some of you, it's your kids or one of your kids that you wish they could just get their act together. For some of you, it's your parents. For others of you, it's their parents. It's your in-laws. But But chances are you all had a picture of something, and it probably fits into one of those three categories, your greatest source of stress. And because most of us define stress, I mean, define peace as the absence of stress, the way that we go about seeking peace is to change or remove whatever it is that is our greatest source of stress. And we think, if I could just get rid of that, if I could just change that, if I could just change them, if only they could see how right I am, if only they would fix themselves or get their act together, if only things would get better, then I would have peace. And this is what a lot of us think peace is going to look like. If I could change that, if I could remove that, whatever that greatest source of stress is, and that makes sense to me, but the only problem with that is you've done that, haven't you? You've changed places before. You've solved one of the problems before. You've fixed or changed or gotten rid of that person, that relationship, that thing, only to find yourself stressing out about something else the next day, right? Like, you know this, that if I had a magic wand that I could wave that would take away whatever is stressing you out today, isn't this true? That you would wake up and you would find something new to stress about tomorrow? Isn't that true? And so we're walking around with this definition of peace that is the removal of stress. And we think, if I could just get rid of that, or if I could just change that, then I would have peace. And the only problem is, if everything that was stressing you out today went away, you would have something new to stress about tomorrow. Because that's the way life is. Life is complex. It's chaotic. It's always changing. And that's something that's not going to change. And so the question that we've got to ask as we're starting this conversation about peace is, if our definition of peace is the removal of stress, but we are always constantly adding or finding new things to stress about, then is peace even possible? The answer is no. And yes. I know you guys were like, what is this series about? The answer is no. Listen, if we're going to cling to our definition of peace as the removal or the change of the places and the problems and the people that are stressing us out, if that is our definition and if that is our perspective on peace, then I'm going to go ahead and tell you that peace will only ever be momentary, and you'll only get little pieces of peace. And they'll be few and far between. But the answer is yes, if you and I are willing to adopt a new perspective on peace and get a different definition of what peace looks like, then, you guys, then peace is possible. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. That's what I want to show you in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus offers us a different definition of peace, a different perspective on peace that I think that if we could adopt, we would experience more peace and lasting peace, instead of just little pieces of peace. And so I want to show you that, the place where Jesus makes this peace offering, if you will, and I will. The place that Jesus makes this peace offering happens in the Gospel of John. It's John's account of the life of Jesus. And towards the end of his letter, as he was writing things down, chapters 13 through 17, what John does is he records the last conversations that Jesus had with his followers. And it's fascinating to read. It's an intriguing conversation. Jesus says some really powerful and incredible things. He says some really weird things that I still to this day don't totally understand, but it's a fascinating conversation. And so if you're interested, you should go and check it out. That's John 13 through 17. But in this, Jesus is preparing his followers and his friends for life after his death. He's preparing them for what it's going to be like, and he's warning them beforehand that he's going to be betrayed, that he's going to be put on trial, beaten, murdered, and that, like, he's letting them know ahead of time how this is all going to go down, and so he's preparing them for life after his death, and he knows it's going to freak them out, and so he's having the conversation ahead of time, and in the conversation, they're obviously, like, freaking out. Because they're thinking that Jesus was going to establish his kingdom on earth. He's going to be the king. They're going to be his cabinet, his council, his right-hand men or whatever. And they're thinking that that's the way it was going to go down. And then all of a sudden, Jesus starts talking about leaving, and they are shook. they're now like stressing out, they're experiencing anxiety, they're freaking out, which is understandable. And they begin to just pepper him with questions, almost the way my kids did and are still doing every single day of my life. They begin to just pepper him with questions. They're like, well, where are you going? Well, why can't we go? Well, what are we supposed to do when you're gone? Well, how do we know if we're doing it right when you're gone? Why is this happening? You know, like, and they're having this freak out, this stressed out moment. And into that, Jesus speaks and he begins to talk about, hey, I'm not going to leave you alone. He begins to talk about, hey, you know what? Like I want to tell you these things and I want to help you out so that you'll have peace. And in the middle of that conversation, Jesus offers us this new perspective on peace. He says this. This is in John 14, verse 25. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you. He says, I'm telling you this ahead of time so that when it happens, like, you'll trust me. I'm telling you before it happens so that when it happens, you'll trust me and you'll know that I really am who I said I am, and you'll actually believe me. I'm saying this to you beforehand so that when it happens, you don't lose heart. And so he says, all this I'm speaking to you while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. And so he says, hey, I'm gonna put my spirit in you so that you don't have to go through life alone. I know that I said I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you by yourself. I know you're stressed out and freaking out, that you're gonna have to figure it out, but I'm gonna be with you. And then he says this about peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus talks about peace like it's something that he can give you. Like, it's like, here's my car keys. You know, like he talks about it like it's this tangible thing that he can actually give instead of some removal of stress from your life, some problem solve, some fix. Jesus talks about it like it's like a gift, like it's something that he can give. How can he do that? I love it. Jesus says, I'm giving you peace, but I'm not going to give it to you as the world gives. Because let me tell you something, the way the world gives peace is how we just talked about it a second ago. The world offers a fairy tale peace. A pie in the sky kind of peace. The world promises you a piece of a win-then kind of peace. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, when I finally pay my debt, then I'll have peace. When my kids get grown up and get out of the house, then I'll have peace. When all of a sudden, like, when I change jobs or get the promotion, then I'll have peace. When I finally make X amount of dollars, then I'll have peace. When I finally get married, then I'll have peace. When I get out of this relationship, then I'll have peace. The world sells you like a win-then kind of peace. And Jesus says, that's not the kind of peace I'm talking about. I'm talking about a peace that I can actually give you. And he says, it's going to be my Holy Spirit, my presence with you and in you. And the reason why Jesus can say, hey, I'm going to give you my peace, is because he's talking about his presence. You see, the world tells us about a peace and offers a peace of absence, the removal of something, your problem going away. Jesus says, that's not the kind of peace that I'm here to promise. I'm not promising you a peace of absence. I'm promising you the peace of my presence. And the reason why I can say I'm going to give you my peace is because what I'm talking about is I'm going to give you my presence to be with you. And that's going to be your peace. You see, you guys, the different definition that Jesus has of peace. For Jesus, peace is actually, it's not the absence of stress, but rather it's the presence of God in the stress of life. This is the different perspective. This is the different definition. This is the peace that Jesus offered to his followers and to his friends, and that your heavenly Father wants you to be able to experience. The world promises a peace of absence of stress, that your problems will go away and there'll come a day when that will happen. But we know that that doesn't ever come, because we just replace it. But Jesus says, no. The peace that I'm offering is the presence of God in the middle of your stress. It's not a presence. It's not a piece of absence. It's a piece of presence. And so the equation has to change. Our normal equation for peace was this: Me minus my problem equals peace. Me minus whatever that thing is that stresses you out. Me minus that place that I have to go to all the time. If that would change and go away, then I'd have peace. Me minus like that problem that I'm currently dealing with, that issue, and then I'll have peace. Me minus that person in my life to stress me out equals peace. But then we know that all we do is when you remove one problem, you just replace it with another. And so that peace that you're constantly looking for will constantly elude you. And so Jesus says, no, there's a different equation that I want to offer you. There's a different equation for experiencing peace. If you want a peace that lasts and you don't want little pieces of peace that come and go, that only last the weekend or only last the evening or only last to the end of that bottle or only last through the clicking. Like if you want a peace that actually lasts, you need a new equation. And this is the equation that Jesus offers. He says it's me plus his presence that equals peace. And the reason why this is a better equation, you guys, is because his presence is a variable that does not change. The problems in your life, those are variables that will change. And they will come and go, and they will rise and fall, and some will be bigger, and some will be smaller, but you're going to constantly have those. But Jesus says, I want to give you a better equation, and I want to give you a variable that does not change. And the thing that does not change is my presence. If you want a lasting peace, if you want real peace, it's not just the removal of the things that stress you out. It's actually my presence in the midst of the stuff that stresses you out. This is the peace that Jesus offers. This is the perspective on peace that Jesus wants us and his followers to adopt. So if you're anything like me, you're like, okay, sounds good. Like some of the Christians in the room are like, yeah, I needed that reminder. Appreciate it. His presence. And then some of you are probably, if you're like me when I was 19 years old, you're probably going, okay, that sounds good, lasting peace, God's presence. But how does God's presence actually give me peace? Because I still got these problems. Because I still got that person in my life. Because I still got to go to that place tomorrow. Like, how does God's presence in my life actually bring me peace? I want to show you an illustration to hopefully help us all to understand how the presence of God in our life actually brings us peace. So the way that this goes, have you guys ever had like that moment in the middle of the night, and we'll bring the lights down. Have you guys ever had that moment? This is just to help us all get in the mindset. I can see who's taking notes or who has children. Have you ever had that moment in the middle of the night where either you got to get up and you got to use the restroom, or maybe you heard one of the kids crying, or you heard something in the house, and your spouse, your wife, or maybe your husband leans over and it's like, hey, go look at that. You should go check that out. You have that moment, so you get up and it's dark like this, and you're kind of groggy. And there's something about like a dark room when you've just been woken up and you got to get up and go check on something that like, it's like you forget where every desk and drawer and dresser and end table is in your house. You're like, what? And so maybe you get up and you're fumbling through, or you forgot that you took your shoes off next to your bed instead of putting them back in your closet or whatever. And so they're laying there and you like stumble over them, or one of your kids had been playing in your room and they left a Lego, those godforsaken Legos. You step on one. Oh, I remember the other night, it was like, I forgot how close, we had this little bench on the end of the bed, and I forgot how close it was to the end of the bed. And I hit my little toe. Yeah, exactly. Everybody that's done that was like, oh, you hurt. It's like you forget you have little toes, and then you hit one and you're like, boom. And then if you've done that enough, you learn that when you get up in the middle of the night, something that you ought to do is you ought to click on the lamp. I got a lamp next to my bed, and now when I have to get up in the middle of the night, I usually click that on because I value my toes. And this is an illustration of what the presence of God is in our life, because you guys get this, like, you know this, when you click on that lamp, the presence of light does not clean your room up, does it? It doesn't move a single thing out of your way. It doesn't move your desk. It doesn't move that dresser. It doesn't move that table. It doesn't pick up the Legos. It doesn't move the shoes that you left on the floor that you're gonna trip over. The presence of light doesn't actually move any of your problems out of your way, but the presence of light actually helps you to navigate now those obstacles with a different kind of confidence and a different kind of security. This is what the presence of God does for our lives. It's like the presence of light in a dark room, the presence of God in the stress of life, right? It's not a promise to take all your problems away, right? That God's presence in your life doesn't mean that the place is gonna change or that the problem's gonna go away or that person's gonna change or go away. But what it does mean is that now, because he's with you and he loves you and you know he's for you and he's got a plan and he's at work, what happens is now you get to navigate the stress of life with a different kind of confidence, a different kind of security. You get to walk with peace. And Jesus says, that's what I came to give you. I didn't come to take all your problems away. I didn't come to just remove the stress of life. But I came to offer you my presence so that you can navigate with confidence and security the stress of life. This is the peace that Jesus wants to offer us. This is the peace that Jesus wanted for his followers, and this is the peace that you and I can have access to today. It's the peace of his presence. And now we can bring the lights up. I have gotten to witness this peace up close and personal. It's the reason why I can no longer ever settle for anything less. It's the reason why I will no longer settle for the temporary peace, the pieces of peace that I find by just removing little problems in my life, because I've gotten to witness the real peace of God active in someone else's life. And it was breathtaking. When I was in eighth grade, I was at home playing video games with my brother downstairs, and there were people at my house, and they were hanging out with my mom. And my mom came downstairs, and she was like, hey, can you guys turn the game off? And in typical eighth grade boy fashion, I was like, you know. And my mom sat down with us, and she was like, I gotta tell you something. And we were like, okay. And she was like, you know, I have cancer. And that's always like a scary thing when you hear that. It's always frightening when you hear that word attached to somebody that you care about or somebody that you love. It was especially scary for us because 2 years before that, maybe not even that long, my aunt had just died of cancer. And so as an eighth grader, all I can think about is that. And it seemed like a death sentence. And if I can be totally honest, I was scared, I was mad, I was definitely stressed, I was freaking out. And I can remember though, like my mom, she wasn't. And as an eighth grader, I was almost mad at her because I was like, you're not taking this seriously. Later on, I would watch as she would, sorry, she's sitting right over there. I would watch as she would go through chemo, and she would still take us places. And, you know, she's like if you're a parent of middle schoolers, she's like an Uber driver that doesn't get paid. And so she would be taking us around and still working, and my dad's still working, and he's gone a lot. And so it was just crazy, but she would get up in the mornings, and she still does this. She would get up and she would sit in this chair. She would read her Bible. She would pray. She would journal. She would talk to God. I remember thinking, like, I don't even want to talk to God right now. I can't believe you're doing that. But she walked with so much peace. She'd come back from chemo with a smile. And I'm sure she had her moments where she was terrified. But you didn't see it. You just saw peace. You saw a confidence, you saw a security. And I can remember later on, as I got into being a pastor, I can remember talking to her and being like, how did you do that? Like, how was that your perspective? I'm like, did you just know you were gonna get better? She was like, no, I didn't know I was going to get better. I just knew I wasn't alone. I just knew that God was with me. That gave me peace. Didn't make my problem go away. But I walked with a confidence and a security knowing that my Heavenly Father was taking care of things. That He loved me, that He had a plan, that He was working. And that gave me peace. And y'all, that's the peace that Jesus wanted for His followers. That's the peace that your Heavenly Father wants for you. That's the peace that God offers to us. Not peace like the world gives. Not a win-then peace. Not a work for it and then wait for it type of peace. Not a peace that's here today and gone tomorrow, but the lasting peace of His presence with you and in you at all times. That's the peace that God wants for you. And so what does that look like? What do we do with that? I think maybe this week it looks like instead of just wishing away our problems, instead of wishing that the places that we've got to go to or the places that we're currently in would change or would be gone, instead of wishing that the people around us would just get their act together or fix it or change it or get out of our lives, instead of wishing those things away, maybe it looks like this week simply inviting God to be present in the stress instead of wishing that the stress would just go away. That's a peace you could experience this week. That's a peace that your Heavenly Father will deliver on. The peace of His presence. Not necessarily the fairy tale peace where all your problems go away, but the promise of His presence. That's one that you can experience here and now and throughout your life. It's a peace that's lasting. It's a peace that's eternal. It's a peace that passes understanding, but it's a peace you can hold on to through all the ups and downs in life. Not a peace from stress, but peace in the stress of life. That is what your Heavenly Father wants for you. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love us enough not to leave us alone. Thank you that you give us a peace that passes understanding, a peace of your presence. It's not a fairy tale peace. It's not a win then peace. It's not a wish it away peace. It's not a work for it and wait for it peace. It's a peace that we can walk in no matter what life throws at us. It's a peace we can experience in and through all things. It's a peace that won't change based on our circumstances. Thank you so much that you offer us that kind of a peace. Pray this week that we would be able to experience that. I pray that we would invite you into whatever it is that's currently got us so stressed out. I pray that we would invite you into it and remember that you're with us so that we can have that lasting peace. We don't want pieces of peace. We don't want temporary. We don't want little glimpses here and there. We want lasting peace. And so would you help us to remember that you're with us, that you're for us, that you're present. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.